Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. We greet you in the precious name of Jesus. This is the Agape Word by Prayer and Delivery Ministry on September 3rd, 2021. This is Pastor Ruth from North Carolina. We welcome you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank and praise God for another day in the land of the living in spite of, what's going on. And I always say that because it doesn't mean that I'm not going through some tests and trial, but in spite of, it could be worse. Because no matter what good I do or have done or want to do or whatever, the things that the Lord does in my life and spare me is not necessarily I deserve them, but because of His love, His mercy, and His grace is why that He does. So I can't take for granted because of me, but ministering to people, because He used me, whatever it is, And even I tell people a lot of time, we ask God to use us, know we're going to use us. We don't know what He may have us to experience or go through, to show forth His glory and His honor, His praise, And I'm learning to really not sin. I like everything I go through, but I'm learning to be thankful because He chose me to be a part of Him and to go through, because He could not have chosen me. He could have chosen me to be the evil one or the one that's going around hurting people, the one that being an enemy to His kingdom. But I thank God that I was not chosen to be one of those, because what people do not understand, those who are a lot of them, just like it was with Pharaoh. Pharaoh was chosen to do just what he did to Moses. That was his calling. That was his calling, And some people are called because the wickedness and evil, wickedness be in the world of evil, and some people are called. That's their calling. So I thank and praise God tonight for not having called me to do that, to come against people, to have that hatred in my heart, or do whatever. I thank Him. I thank Him for not, with God, not saying that I love, again, everything that I go through, everything people do to me, but I'm seeing now, after all this time, this year, how things are beginning to pay off, how God is beginning to reward me, how God see me because of going through and taking the right attitude in it, how much where He placed me in Him, and how He's continuing supplying. I may not walk in the overflow, but He continues making ways out of no way. I see Him beginning to turn around people that had once came against me, and I see Him, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, those people, some of the people he have called them to bless me, and at one time, they really, really came against. So, we don't always understand, but like I tell people, He promised to say, I'll make you an enemy, your footstool. In His timing, He would do that, and I thank and praise Him. And now, also, the individual, they call me often to have me pray for this situation thing going on in their life, and God is moving in that. And, and God turn around and have them to bless, and one time they fought me like I don't know what, not physical fight, but fought. So I always tell people, but God's word is true. And when you go through with the right attitude and know that it changes you, it perfects you to be the better person. It brings the best out of you. Because a lot of times He has to allow things to go. So I'm thinking I praise Him for that tonight, that I see the words that He's been speaking. They may not be just overflowing, running all over the place right now, but they're coming forth. And I was given a word last night or later on the free conference that the Lord was saying how the words and the prophecy He's going to have given to me, I'm going to see them come to pass quickly. But see, I had to go through a season and a time. I had to, be misunderstood. It looked like everybody else was prospering. It looked like everybody else, everything else was being taken. But the thing that I tell people, and I believe this in my heart, that as God do this, everything get back. What they have to pay for, I won't. I have an overflow. I've been told many times that God was going to bless me so that they'll be running out the door. I have to give some of it away. And I do see some things that I have accumulated since I've been serving God that I didn't buy and got too much of stuff. So I thank and praise God. And I just want to encourage people, because God has already picked us out anyway to be His. And that's a blessing, too, because everybody's not predestined to be His. But He gives them a chance to come in. But, you know, when he has already picked us out from birth or whatever, however we come, because the mindset, I used to hear people say that God only blessed those who be married and, you know, have children. But I find out that it's not so. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I keep trying to tell people God does not think like we think. And sometimes we misinterpret scripture, you know, and think that he got the heart like us or the mindset like us. But, you know, I really do thank God. Yes, I'm going to say it. A lot of things that I've had to go through, especially with the persecution, was really hard because a lot of times people don't understand, you know. But I thank him so much because I'm seeing what he's doing now that he promised way back. I'm seeing what he's doing, and I do believe in my heart. I know, I'm not going to say believe, because belief can change with circumstances. But when you know, just like you know your name in your heart, that whatever God has said, whatever his word has said, that's why I've always said line it up with the word of God, then you know he got to keep his promise. We may, one thing I also tell people, know in your heart. You may not always know his timing, because that's been the thing with me. I tell people, you can't make me die. You can't make me say, well, he's not going to. This I know just like I know my name. I just don't always know his timing. I don't always know how he's going to do it. Actually, to be honest with you, I don't care how he do it. I don't question him how he's going to do it. But I do know, like scripture say, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And sometimes we just have to stand still and see God turn his hand, because he promised to turn everything around. And I'm beginning to see that the word been given out recently about how the Lord is going to begin to turn the enemy around. He's going to begin to judge the enemy. I'm trying to remember. I hope to ask the Lord to bring back to me the word that I have gotten actually for you, Yana. I know you're on. I see that last night. How God is going to really, really, really use you, and you're going to be a woman of faith. And it's a lot of things that I told people I already know. I know what God had told me before. But how really, really, when you come out, and how you're going to love the Lord, I mean, really love the Lord, and, you know, things. So I thank God for what he promised he's going to do, and he's going to do in your life. Yes, a lot of times it seems like it's hard we're going through. But scripture said, much given, much required. So what that actually means is this. If God got a lot for us, and I'm not talking just material stuff, but I'm talking about the anointing, the ministry, everything, he required more out of us to go through than somebody else that's not. You know, because when he bring them out, like I said, where a lot of people have to have money, God be giving favor, God be having people do things and what kind of thing that they would never do. You know, and send the right people in our life. When we get to the place that we really trust him, you know, and let him do it, let him put it on, because he can tell more about a person, make them do things. Because I had this sister, she used to tell me all the time, but when the Lord show you people to bless you and people, you ought to tell them. I told them, I'm not telling nothing. Let him tell them. Because a lot of times what I learned with that, if I tell a person, the Lord show me put to bless me, they're going to do less than what he want me to do. So I let him, just like I don't even know. And usually what he'll do, too, he'll have people come and just start to run up at the mouth with me, telling me, I got blessed with this, I got blessed with that. And I know when he does that, he had me telling them, I blessed them to bless you, but they try not to do it. So I don't worry about that, because when you come to the place that God takes you through and show you that he is your only source, and sometimes I try to help people understand that it looks like, this door closed, that door closed, this person won't do. But it's God doing it because he wants that person to rely completely upon him, completely upon him. And if when he get ready to want to change him, he'll do that, you know. And so I do that to try to make people understand and what they're going through, so they won't think the wrong thing, get the wrong thing in their heart, you know, because all power is in God's hand. And people got to play with word, but I don't. It's what God won't do, then God won't do. Well, you can say whatever you want. If he don't stop it, he'll allow it, and he's going to use it for his glory, because he's going to turn the enemy around. And the enemy most times have to bless you and give you. So, you know, some people don't make it out because they throw up their hand in the midst of it, what you call it, you know, this, that, and other, because they get in the flesh with it, you know. But I thank God for what I'm seeing. I really do thank God for what I'm seeing him doing and what he promised me, you know, even about your life. You know, I thank him. I just thank him. And like I tell people, you know, yeah, sometimes, you know, you want to say this, you want to say that, but sometimes it's best to shut your mouth up. Really shut your mouth up. I was trying to talk to someone today, you know, and trying to tell them, okay, they've been in the Lord longer than I have, this, that, and the other, but they still walk in a lot of carnality and stuff. And I'm trying to tell them, see, when you think you know more than God, you think you can work everything out. You're messing up. You're really messing up because God's going to let you mess up. So you have to come right back to him. And I was telling them, I said, a lot of time, even when the Lord had me trying to tell them something, you know, whatever this, that, and other, they could not grasp what I was saying because they was thinking in the natural, and it was coming. So now, after all these years being in the Lord, and you done been like that so many years, and people don't realize that as long as you be hard-headed, knucklehead, or whatever for years, that stuff done grinding down in you. It's going to really take some stuff to get it out of there for you to be able to listen to God. And realize you ain't smarter than God, and if whatever knowledge you do have, he give it to you. And he will never, never let anybody think we're smarter than him. He will never. And that's why a lot of time I tell people, learn to know his voice when he's speaking. He never say my sheep nor my vessel. He's my sheep nor my voice. So learn to recognize his voice. How are you going to do that? By letting your spirit, man, eating that word and letting it grow. And you'll know when somebody's talking or whenever they're saying something, or they don't have to be talking religious talk. But you know when it's coming from God, because your spirit, man, he give you peace in him. And so I was trying to tell them, if they knew Christ, you stay in the word all the time, you know, all this stuff, you know who I am in the spirit. You know that maybe you don't understand what I'm saying and why I'm saying it, because you're not in the level spiritually where I had to do by sticking with God and reading that word and getting in that word and talking the word all the time. I say, no, yes, I've had people say, but that's all she want to talk about, the word, you know, but I see that because of that, it helped to make me stable in my relationship with the Lord, in my walk with the Lord, you know, because about whining, crying, pole this, and how this, and all that stuff was gone, I would not be stable in my relationship today. And I was telling the person, I said, out of all them years way back, when you started out before I did, even went to your Bible study, and now God got me teaching you. Got me teaching you because I said, I remember back going back. I said, I remember the Lord had some word to give you, to tell you he wanted you to study more of the word to teach his people than study in that college. Well, it's not a college, but anyway, it's a psych tech thing. But anyway, I told him, I said, but you know, you have to study. But look how many years you wasted. You know about the Lord, but you had no relationship with the Lord. You're supposed to get to know him like you would a natural lover or husband or wife or whatever it is. You get to know him like that. And when you fall in love with him, ask God to help you to fall in love with him. Because that's the difference. You can love somebody, and basically that person, you love them, but you won't sacrifice them. But when you fall in love with the Lord, whatever he wants to do, what you do, you do it. Whatever he wants you to go through, you'll go through it without complaining, you know, because you love him. You know, and then you see that it won't be nothing at all that he won't do for you. Won't be nothing at all he won't bring you out of. It won't be nothing at all that he won't send your pathway at the right time. And sometimes they don't wonder, why I'm here, why I'm doing this. I don't try to question it, so why. I say to myself, it don't make no difference, because I know why I am. Because of him. He will not, like I said, a heart that he can get after him, it's nothing that he won't do for them. Now, he won't do nothing that's going to cause you to give you something that he know will cause you to get hurt or kill or whatever. You know, that's why can't take scripture. Sometimes people take scripture, you know, anything can come in my heart. If I'm asking him for something that's going to destroy me, he knows that I don't know, he's not going to give it to me because he loves me too much. And that's the same way it is with their parents, especially when they love their children or whatever it is. They can know, however they know it, whether the Lord showed it to them or whether it's been through it or whatever it is. And even though they want to do it, but because they know it's going to destroy them, they won't do it. But see, when you don't have no understanding, you think, but I want it. But you're not seeing what they see. You're not knowing what they know. So the same way with our Heavenly Father, you know, he's going to give us the best for us. This is why I let him make the decision about my life in every aspect, wherever you want me to go, what you want me to do, or whatever it is. Lord, just lead me, but give me the grace. But the grace already there, but help me to follow you, or follow the way you are lined up, or however you like, even though I don't understand. But help me, Lord. And this is what I do. And I have done this over the years. I've been pleading with the Lord. Lord, please help me, Jesus. Please help me, Jesus. Sometimes it looked like it wasn't helping, but it was, because I couldn't have made it through. I said, Lord, help me. Show me, Lord Jesus. Show me. Show me, Lord Jesus. And sometimes he'll say, walk with the, you know, follow me blindly. So I go before you and make the crooked way straight. Because you're learning about him. You learn the ways about him. And you just can't read the Bible and learn about him. You learn about him by a relationship with him. Walking with him, talking with him. And it seemed like, let me just say this, because it seemed like a lot of times when we're talking to the Lord, and it seemed like he's not paying attention and hearing, but he is. And sometimes we have to really just shut up and stand before him and pay attention and listen closely, and he'll speak sometime in the spirit. Sometimes he'll have the angel speak in your ear. But what I usually tell people sometimes, just sometimes just sit before him, think about him and just sit and look stupid. That's what I tell him, you know, but I don't mean that in a negative sense. You know, let him speak back and let him speak spirit to spirit. Because it is a two-way conversation. Even prayer is a two-way conversation. And it seems like sometimes, like I say, he's not answering. Let me tell you, he's watching you. He's watching us and seeing our reaction and seeing whether we really trust him, you know, and all of this. You know, I say it again. And I've always have tried, and I've been saved to obey God. And then several of the things that usually I did that he didn't want me to do was when I used to hold people around, and he told me not to. That and then when I used to run to some of the churches, he had told me not to do. But like I say, I still didn't think that he would consider that was being, he couldn't trust me. Even though he had been ministering, he had been doing all this other stuff until, like I say, 2003. Yeah, 2003, you know, when I didn't go to the hospital. In the hospital, then it was after that, he had this brother come and say, God said, now, I can trust you. I looked at them, but I didn't say anything. I didn't say nothing to them. I said to myself, now he trusts me. I thought he would trust me all the time because I'm doing his work. But he was saying, at that time, you know, I was sometimes still holding folks around. I was still sometimes be going places, churches, whatever he told me not to go. So when he gave me that last test, that Abrahamic test, and I stood and obeyed him and stayed home and did the Bible, I mean, not the Bible, so I did shut in and then, you know, what's called. It was after then he come and told me and said, now I can trust you. I can trust you. But now you do what I say you do, no matter what nobody say. So this is what I'm trying to tell people. You got to come to a place to learn. People will not understand you. That's okay. That's between them and God. But you have to come to a place that you have to obey him completely without thinking and whatever. So I did that, and I thank and praise God. Like I say, I'm seeing now that because I stuck, because I even in obeying him, I misunderstood a lot. But I'm seeing now the rewards that God is doing. I'm seeing now the favor of God's coming in my life. I'm seeing now God is, you know, what's wrong with the ministry, not the ministry. He's beginning to grow. And he keep telling me to different people, this ministry is going to go all over the world. You know, he's going to cause it to be. And now he began to put people, like I said, in the pathway that's going to be connection and information and instruction for to help me to take it, what he's telling me to take it and what he's telling me to do. You know, so I just want to encourage you to stick to God, whatever you have to go through, because it's the persecution and all that and how you take it. Because he said, those that suffer me are going to arrange for me. It automatically comes with the price. Over here in America, we don't know too much about persecution trying to spread the gospel. But without the cross, there's no crown. People in other countries that really love the Lord and trying to go and spread the gospel with God, they get locked up, they get killed. All of that is part of serving God. But we over here, we've been babies so much until we don't want to pay the crap, but we want the blessing, we want the anointing, we want all of this stuff. But if you be honest and look around with you now, around you, very few people that walk in such an anointing that you can call, and I'm talking a real serious thing, that they can really pray and get a breakthrough. Because why? They're not walking in their power. They know about it, know the word. So you have to really go through, like I said before, the gifts that you got. God gave them to your mother womb. They're already anointed, so they'll operate. I don't care if you're out there sinning. The gift and calling of God without repentance. Even when God has called you to be a minister. Out there in the world, you see drunks and things just preaching. People, these ninja shadows, they're playing with God. No, they're not. The gift is in there. And that gift will still operate. But when you sell out to God and let him strip you to you be a vessel that he can use, he will anoint your soul to the very presence of God on your life will change wherever you go. He'll open doors. He'll use you. Because then you do whatever he say, do. You know, yes, you go through, you be rejected. Now, all of that is a part of what's going on. If you in somewhere, everybody like you, 9 to my 10, you better check your life out. Because the devil hates the one that belongs to God. And those, a lot of times, they be the people that say they are of Christ. Study history, study the Bible, you know, study, and you'll see. And he tells us, this is what's going to happen because it happened to Jesus. Happened to Jesus. Sometimes, you know, it really vexes my spirit when they have Christians say, well, I don't know why they do that. They say they're Christians. I don't care what they say. He told you that this is what they're going to do. Those are the ones that don't know him. They may be claiming. They're not true believers. And I was teaching on that last night when I was coming out of St. John, the 8th chapter, about it's the truth that set you free. And then something about the people, about the Abraham, you know, what's on the Abraham people and all this. But he told them, whoever you serve, they was believers. Supposed to be, not true believers, they were believers. He said, that's your daddy. And this is why you hear me say that everybody that city of Christ and name the name, I don't care to go to church, and they're not really true believers, so they do, you know, God is not their father. Whoever you serve, if you serve in sin, and I'm talking willfully, I know there are things that we don't know yet. He's not talking about that. But things that we do know. We have to learn how to sin is whatever he says. Sin is Mr. Mob. Sin is error. Look it up in the Hebrew and Greek, the Strong Concordance, and you'll see that that word in different verses mean different things. And it's different action, different reaction. But it's according to what he say, not what I say, not what the church say, not what another prophecy or whatever it is say, but it's what the Bible say. And learn always, always, when people want to say the Bible say, the Bible say, the Bible say. Like, I don't have no opinion. I've had someone ask me one time, say, you know, they want to know what my opinion, but I told them I don't have an opinion. So everybody have, I don't have an opinion. I tell you what the word say. The word says. See, you got to fight for to keep the peace. You got to fight for it in your heart. You got to fight for to keep the word. So you got to recognize when somebody doing like that, they're coming against the truth that you got peace with. They don't. And you're not being arrogant, you're not being ugly, you're not being this. But you cannot let the devil steal your peace. You cannot let the devil, because if the person was really of Christ, they wouldn't argue about the word and nothing else. Because they know that each person learns things different at a different level and a different time. And because how a person seeks the Lord. And if a person stay in the Word 8 to 10 hours a day and another person stay in the Word, you know, an hour a day or 2 hours a day or that 30 minutes that take, they cannot know what that person would come. Because that person is giving the all to know him. So he's going to reveal more to them. Because they are sacrificing to him. And they're giving their soul to him. So he's going to open up mysteries about the word that other people may have read and may not have understood it. You know, it's how you seek God. It's how you stay before him. I want to know you, Lord. You know, all this other stuff, yeah, Lord, but if I get you and fall in love with you, you can withhold no good thing from me. So I want to know you in your ways. It's not that I won't hear from other people, but you know in your spirit, man, when somebody's of God and when they're not, or when somebody's of their own opinion or religion or whatever it is, you know it in your spirit, man. It don't mean that you reject hearing from somebody else, because that's pride. You know, because like I tell people, and I'm telling somebody today, okay, if I can tell somebody something and got a word from the Lord, and I know this other person hear from the Lord too, but I don't want to hear what they got to say. I just want to hear what they say. I got pride. Because he will use anyone. God will use sometimes people that ain't right, especially if he want to get a word to a person that nobody else won't go take that word to encourage him. He'll use somebody else and he'll speak to them. They might not know why they're saying it, and it doesn't matter. but if it encouraged you. So we just thank and praise God, like I said tonight. I'm going to talk tonight some from 2 Timothy, the second chapter on spiritual Christian warfare. Christian warfare, okay? And what warfare means, it means a contest, struggle with spiritual enemies. It means when somebody, and contest means to argue in opposition, to oppose, to contend. So when you or I or anyone else, the people be doing all this and come against, we enter spiritual warfare. If it's an individual, that's why he said we're not dealing with flesh and blood. It's the spirit that operates behind the person. So if you know it's the spirit, then what you do, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10th verse down, that's how you fight the principality and power. Learn the definition of principality, power, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it tells you that the armor that you put on, you keep it on all the time. Because when you become a Christian, that's what Paul was teaching and telling Timothy. You know, and I don't know why people think when they get saved that the devil's going to slip and it's not going to be a warfare. But this is why he's talking about a Christian warfare. And warfare is a contest. Somebody always debating, always arguing, always trying to do, you know, with the word, and you're struggling, continuing. And even in your own spirit, when the Spirit of God is trying to bring you into peace with what's going on, your flesh wants to keep trying to cause disturbing in there, make you think and make you question whatever there. It's a warfare, so how do you do? You do not do it in your own flesh and blood. You do not do it in the carnality way. You do not get people told. You do not do that. You do what the word of God said and be put on your whole armor. And, you know, even the shield of faith, you know, the fire of dust that people come at you and say so that it can knock it off. It won't go in your heart. Okay, the helmet of salvation on your head. When people are saying what they say, your mind ain't clicking and working and you're thinking the wrong thing because you got your head protected. That's why it says a whole armor God. And the Bible tells us, in order to fight those things, it's the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God that you're going to overcome the enemy. This is why you hear me talk. Those who know me or whatever, I'm always talking about the word. It's the word, the word, the word. I really make people sick sometimes. But see, they don't know. That is what helped keep the enemy at bay. That is what keep the enemy from stealing the truth out of my mind and my heart. By me talking about the word of God all the time. Talk about it. And what you put in is what you're going to get out. That's it. If you don't put the word in, the word ain't coming out. But that's what helped keep you standing. That's what helped you to go through hell and high water. That's what helped you to go through when the Lord allowed you to go through a real what's called a test. And it don't look like God nowhere around ain't coming through. That word, because you put in that, I keep coming up. But the word say this. The word say that. I know God is faithful. I know God, you know, he'll do what he say he's going to do. The word keep coming up. And that's what keep you built up. And this is why you cannot allow anyone coming around you trying to give you doubts and make you think, but this, that, and other. Okay, when you're talking to that spirit in that person, that's what it is. You have to really cut that spirit out and tell them, you don't want to hear that. You're not talking to the person. The person let the devil use them. But what is he doing? To steal your peace and steal your joy. This is why you hear me say that I don't pray for people peace and I don't pray for the joy. Because why? If he give it to you and you have not learned how to keep your peace, you're going to let the devil steal it right back. If he giving you joy, the Lord gives you joy. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? And he give you a song when there's no reason for you to be singing. And all of a sudden, you have some naysay coming out of the woods. And here they come with some other crazy stuff. See, so when they come with it, they come trying to steal your joy. You don't let that spirit steal your peace and your joy. Tell them you gonna trust God. You're going to do what the word say, God. You don't want to hear it. You're not being arrogant. You're talking to the spirit because the Bible says we're not dealing with flesh and blood. So with a lot of Christian mind is not renewed to the word of God, they think they're dealing with the person. Well, the person trying to be smart. The person, no. The devil using them to really tear down the kingdom God is building in you. So he was, Paul was warning Timothy, because Timothy was getting ready to go into ministry and all that. He was talking about the Christian warfare, because at that time they had a lot of false teachers and preachers, just like we got today. And he was warning them, because he was saying, you're going to encounter persecution and turmoil in dealing with them false teachers. Because they're the ones that want to argue with you and all that, they need all that stuff, you know. So you're going to deal with them. So he was preparing him and telling him it's Christian warfare. And the two in one, the first verse said, thou therefore, my son, he called him, be strong.
be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not in you, not in Brother Bookie or Sister Joel, whoever it is, but in Christ Jesus. Be strong in him. And it talks about over there in Ephesians, I think the 10th verse said, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You know, be strong in him. Who is Christ Jesus? The word of God, that's him. Be strong in the word. I used to put on a tape at nighttime and let the word just go in while I'm asleep. And honest to God, there came a time at nighttime I wake up and turn it over. I was on the cassette. The Holy Spirit, the word was going in my spirit while I'm asleep. And people wonder why when I wake up and they come visit, she wake up to my Jesus, why is she doing that? So what you put in is what's come out. And furthermore, be glad I'm putting the word in me. Instead, because you come out saying something smart, you might have got something smart back. Okay. But the second verse said, and the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul was saying, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You have to be what's come with faithful people, not people talking it, not people knowing what it is but not living, but to listen to those who you see the fruits in their life, faithful. And they're able to teach you also. You're able to see them go through tests and trials, and you don't see them whining, crying. They may tell you about it so you can be aware of it, but they're not whining, crying about it because they don't want you to walk upon something and then tell you it was down the road. See, because the devil had people tell you, you're not going to tell you something. I said, lie, because the scripture tells you that. I'm going to tell you what I went through with so that you'll be able to watch down the road in case you come through it, and then you will know how to maneuver around or you'll know how to trust the Lord. See, because one thing, when it first started out, the saints wouldn't tell me about the enemy out there and tell me about to watch this. And after something happened, well, I could have told you, but I didn't. I would be so hurt. I never would say anything to them, but I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, whatever you teach me about how to walk through this thing, I will teach your people if they want to hear to keep them from having to struggle like I did, not knowing. But God don't want you this, and God don't. That's what a lot of times they say. But anyway, I'm going to read that again. And the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul was saying, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You remember the Lord had told him that you're going to suffer many things for his sake. Persecution, hard trials, all this stuff. That was part of his calling, not just to preach and teach the word. That was what God has assigned to him. And a lot of things, the same thing with us. Real Christians in other countries, that's what they go through. They're not doing religion or just church. But the third verse said, thou therefore endure, that means hardness, endure, undergo hardship, trouble, affliction, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because once you come in, you become a soldier of Jesus Christ. You come in not to fight against the devil kingdom and the world kingdom, because the world wants you back. So the world going to try to get you back. The devil going to try to get you back. So you got to do a spiritual battle, a spiritual fight to stay on God's side. So that means, he said, endure hardness, undergo. Don't get out from above, don't pray out from above me. This is another thing that I tell people. I will not pray you out of a test and trial. I'll pray you through it. Because if God allowed to come your way, he's going to be to your good. Okay? Because he said, endure. So endure means that you go through it. It's tough, it's hard, it looks like God don't went up on the left end or whatever, and then look like everybody and everything coming against you. But he said, endure hardness. That's why I tell people, look up the words. Look it up, especially in the Strong Concordance in the Bible, whatever. Look it up. As a good soldier. So what is it saying? I'm a soldier once I come in. I'm a soldier in God's army. And everybody knows in the natural, when a person is in the armed force or whatever they are, they go through a basic training. What do they go through a basic training? To learn how to fight the enemy. Because I would not, to be honest, if a person don't want to go through and learn how to spiritual fight, I can't have you standing with me, because you, when the trouble gets hard, and I don't hate this happen, you run and leave me. You won't even be there for me at all. I want somebody who done went through and learned how to fight with the word of God, learn how to fight with prayer, learn how to take authority over the enemy, rebuke and bind up the enemy, and learn that God is taking me through because he's trying to perfect me and, you know, and do things in my life with the ministry. But then, well, you shouldn't have to go through that. God would want you to go through that. That's why in America, we got some weak Christians, you cannot have them to have your back. Because as soon as you trouble come and hit your door, they'll stand with you until then. Then they go on about their business. Because they don't understand spiritual warfare. But the Bible says, the fourth verse says, no mankind that wars entangle himself with the affairs of this life. We have no business getting involved in the things of this life. If we're going to do anything, we pray, we take authority, we speak, we don't have no, because like what I see recently, a lot of the Christians done turned to the politics. They ain't really preaching the gospel anymore. They're not even telling people that it's the word of God, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to set people free. They're telling people, making people think it's man going to do it. The devil is a lie. Or either they're saying, in the other word, I had people call me and tell me about, like, in their town or city, you know, with the city council don't do this, and maybe they're raising the bills and raising this, and it just ain't right. You need to get somebody. I said, let me tell you one thing. We got power to pray and take authority over the enemy. And God can change the heart of man. You can't by voting and putting somebody in the write-off. I'm not saying don't vote. But I'm saying you have to pray for God to get in the heart of man. I said another thing, when you learn the ways of God, some of God's people, God has to allow them to go through something to draw them to him. Because most of us, when trouble hit that door, we pray. You got to learn the ways of God. So sometimes God will permit or allow whatever you want to say. These things, because there's some people out there he's been trying to talk to. But they've been so busy with their life and been so busy with their job and they've been so, have the best and have this. They don't think about nobody else and all this stuff. So he said, okay, I've been trying to pull on you. I'm going to send people to you. You won't pay no attention. So if I start that letting things touch this, you're going to cry out to me. I want to draw you to me. So sometimes you have to learn how to discern in a person's life what God is doing in their life. If he is trying to draw them, pray for the grace of God to be with them and be there for them to pray with them, but do not pray them out. And sometimes you can't even help them out, even though you want to. And the first thing that comes out, he said, well, you know, you're supposed to, but you're supposed to help. You're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God and know what God is doing in that person's life. And like I said, and pray and find out, don't just because a person, you know, maybe they want a job or whatever. You need to discern whether God is going to take them through a walk of faith. Because you can pray, and they may get one. But you don't pray that first out of God's will. So you're going to call more hardship on them, because if he's trying to get them to trust in him, he's going to eventually do it one way or another, but it'll be harder. It'll be harder. I'm dealing with a lady now. The Lord got me ministering her. She's been in church a long, long, long time. She had a ministry prophesied, and she had a Bible study, had all this stuff. But she got in carnality. She got in carnality and a lot of things, you know, she got back in the flesh. And God used to use her mightily. I'm talking about mightily. She used to pray and put her hands on her, and them hands be hot, and God will heal you. But like I said, you can get back in carnality. And she now, because of things that God has really began to open her eyes, and she sees that I've been trying to tell her things. I told her, I said, see, you came in, you was ministering in the Lord before I was. But I kept on with God. I didn't get busy with the world and backslid. I didn't do that. I kept on studying. I kept on going. I said, but now the Lord is using me to help to bring you into walking to your calling. But look how many years you have lost. Look how many years you have lost. You're saying you're reading the Bible, you're doing this, you're doing that, but evidently you didn't learn the ways of God. And so now they kind of regret it because they see, well, I thought I knew. I thought I didn't know all of that crime. I said, well, I told you you was. Not to hurt you. And you cannot, the things of God, with your natural mind and your senses. It has to be spiritual discernment. That's what it has to be. So I was trying to help them yesterday, but we're talking about the telephone and all that stuff and how they go warm it up and all. So they were saying, well, you know, that's just too high. How are we going to talk to God? I said, let me tell you something. You cannot believe God for miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, and can't be got to pay a telephone bill. Something wrong. I said, something wrong to say. I said, let me tell you one thing. When you hear me talking, something she knew I went through. I said, when you hear me talk, you don't never hear me say, well, I can't have this, I can't get this, because it costs too much, all that. I said, if it did that, God would not, even though he had it for me to use me for the signs and wonders and miracles, he wouldn't have to me until I come up in my faith level to believe him for all things. All things. I said, you're going to have to come up. I said, because first of all, if I'm believing the Lord like that, and you too much, you praying me for something, you hindering it. I said, if you want to walk it through, I said, I'm giving more praise report from praying for people to call me. I'm not telling people to call me. They're doing it word of mouth, and you know, people they know, and they're telling the people to get in touch. But God is doing just what he said, because he said he put a great seed of faith in your great faith. Some people got that. Okay, for he takes you through tests and trial and makes you the weak and hard thing to build that faith up. You're going to the furnace of affliction. Because why? You're going to 9 times out of 10 walk in the supernatural. You're going to be 9 times out of 10 seeing creative miracles. You're going to see legs and grow on. See, so he has to take you through the fire. The devil do not turn their stomach fat. God does. To purify and burn out everything that's going to keep you from believing that he can do it. You're going to have to know it by going through. So I was trying to explain it to her. I said, a lot of time we waste a lot of years, and then the more we stay like that and get that stubborn, it's harder to get that stuff out. It's harder. But God is loving. Some people he does continue to work with him. Some people he turns back to a reprobate mind. People say they don't do it. I told him to read the Bible. Yes, he will. But the fourth verse, I'm going to read that again. It said, no man that in wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So what is he saying? If I, just concerned by all the affairs of this life, what's going on out there and all of this, except praying and asking God to come on the scene and all that, then he said, I'm not pleasing him. And I know now why it was aggravating my spirit with people texting me about praying for this and praying for the election, praying for all this stuff after the election, what you call. And I wonder why it would just aggravate my spirit. Because first of all, anybody knows if you answer, God already lays a burden on your heart for the prayer. See, the enemy was trying to get me to get entangled with what was going on and knowing that Christ is the only one. Pray for Christ to get in the hearts of people. He the only one can change something. See, they have what they have done, a lot of the Christians, they have went back to apostasy. And what that means, they have deviated from the truth. They have deviated from the Bible, and they're trying to do things the world way of doing it. And then they're not even getting deliverance. Not only in that, in casting out demons. They don't want to cast out demons no more. People ain't got no demons. You got to show them love. Them demons are tearing up everything. The Bible says, we are supposed to set the captive free. We're supposed to cast out demons. So why is it now they're telling we're not supposed to do that? Or whatever, like, see, I hear a lot of preachers telling the people, you need to go and take the shot. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct the path. Pray and ask God what to do. Let him lead you what to do. Not when somebody else is telling you, you don't have to obey the Lord, you have to just obey what the world is saying. I don't care what it's about. Always go back to the word of God. Never let your heart lead him. Because then, like I said, what they're doing, you're not being a good soldier. You were chosen to be a soldier in the kingdom of God. So if you chose to be the king, he is the lieutenant or whatever the links and whatever it is, you know, when you're in the army or in the Navy or whatever it is. He is your soldier. He is your head. So you have to listen to what he's saying in the spirit. And if anyone's trying to deviate, I'll say with me, away from the word of God, you're messing up. Because I don't live in the word. I'll pray, but I pray for God to come on the scene. I pray for God's divine will to be done. In order, because I serve God. I don't serve man. I'm a soldier in his army. Not in where I have come out of the world, not into the kingdom of God. So I'm going to seek him. I'm going to point you to God. If you come to me with a situation or whatever it is, I'm going to say, well, let's pray and see what the Lord say. I'm not going to tell you, well, sister or brother or whatever, well, you go down there and you talk to so-and-so and then they'll tell you wherever to go. No, because one thing that I do know about the Lord, the Lord can give you, if he want you to talk to somebody, he can give you the name of that person. I don't care if it's 10 people ordinarily you have to go through. But God will give you the name of that person, and you can go straight to them. You can go straight to them, but God already knows what's on their heart. Already. So see, what people is trying to lead people to do and say You don't have to go to God no more. You don't have to go to the Bible. You just go, you know, to what man say and this and. But look at the world. Like I said, what I see, and it hurts my heart to see so many Christians dying. So many Christians dying. They're dying like the world people dying. And one of my hands, they got the Holy Ghost, they got the power, they got the healing. But why we're not doing just because it's a pandemic or whatever? Okay, he never said because of whatever come on the land that I shield you for not going out there. You can just stay in that house or whatever, whatever. Because when you really walking in Christ, you are covered in the blood of Jesus. But he has to tell you, okay, you go, then he got your back. That's why it's so important to listen to the voice of God. Listen to him. Now, he may not tell the other sisters because they may not be there. But listen to the voice of God. I told him he never said when all this stuff happened that you don't have to not go out and, you know, minister to people. You don't have to go out and pray for people. You go out to the grocery store. You go out to Walmart. If he protect you to go out there, why he can't protect you to do the work of the kingdom? Establish his kingdom. See, you have to listen to the way people talk. And they, I mean, you can tell the brains are scattered or something's wrong. But the word of God said, the fifth verse said, and if a man also strive for mastery, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. And basically what it's saying, in the world, we strive for mastery or superiority or competition or whatever it is in the world, but be crowned in the world. You know, a lot of time in, you know, in Christianity, we want people to look us up and we really do the work so they can say, oh, you know, she or he, oh, they mighty in God. But see, that is unlawfully. But when we do it the right way and in the kingdom of God, then that's when we're really blessed. When I'm fighting the world or fighting the enemy to get to that place in Christ, I'm coming against Satan's kingdom. I'm coming against everything that's not of God. I am striving lawfully with a crown that can't nobody take away from me. But the one in the world, when you get to a place and people lift you up there, and you don't do what they want to do, they're going to drop you like a hot potato. Now, I'm sure, you know, all of us on that line have seen that in our lives. We were trying to please people, trying to do it like they said they ought to do it, trying to do it like this, that, and other. And then when you don't do it, that's another thing, they get mad with you. But we're striving unlawfully when we're striving for that, for people to be superiority in the world, or for people to accept me, to like me, or to this, that, and other. Because when you adopt God and be preordained and you really, really live the life of Christ, those that only know God, you're going to be accepted to them. Those that not, they got religion, they're going to hate you just like they did Jesus. They just want to hate. The Bible said the husband, which is talking about the farmer of the land worker, we know in the 15th chapter of St. John, it says that the father was the farmer. He's that laborer must first be a partaker of the fruits, okay? Basically, let me explain that what that means. If I preach and teach to you, I'm just going to use me and give you the word. I'm breaking up the ground. I'm doing whatever. I need to be a partaker of what I'm teaching you. You need to be able to see it in my life, not hear it out of my mouth, but not see it in my life. If not, then I need to stop trying to preach and teach the word until I let it become a part of me. And this is why you see today a lot of Christians, a lot of people, oh, they know their Bible. They know it better than I do, but the fruits are not in their life. They can tell you this, this, that, and other, and quote any scripture, when it comes down to somebody else, but it's not applied in their life. But the Bible say here, the husband or the farmer or the land or worker, whatever terminology you want to use, preacher, teacher, prophet, whatever, said that laborers or work must first be a partaker of the fruits of what they're bringing forth. First, if they're not, then that's why the Bible says you know the tree by the fruits. I'm telling somebody, well, I say it quite often because people tell me, well, you know, such and such a person, I know they're of God because even when they give you a word or tell you where, it's true, it's accurate. The devil can do it also. But that's not how he tell me to judge them, like come against them. You know them by the fruits, and the fruits is not only that they nice and saying all the right words, and then tomorrow they're acting like a clown. No, they lack this consistency, them proofs on the everyday, nighttime, sleep time, or whatever. Like I was telling you, saying a few minutes ago, when the people come, you know, and maybe wake me up or whatever it is, and I'm talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But she always talking about Jesus. But see, what they don't understand, the fruits was in my life. I wasn't just talking and preaching and teaching. And like I tell people, and God knows this too, I always have tried to be sincere. I may not always have been what God wanted because he's working. It takes time and it takes years. But I was always sincere. And I tell the Lord a lot of time, I say, you know, my heart has always been after you. Always. But I know you have not completed me yet. But I'm not going to preach and tell nobody anything, and I'm not walking in it. I'm not going to do that. Because if I call you to follow, I don't have no excuse for God because he's going to bring righteous judgment against me. Because I'm not being a partaker of what I'm trying to tell you to do. If I tell you you need to trust God and you need to do this and that, you better believe I'm going to be doing it in my life. I'm not going to tell you, well, I'm trusting God and I'm believing God, and then I'm going all over the world trying to get help in whatever it is. Maybe like the Lord is telling me to do it. I refuse with the help of God to do that. I refuse to do that. But the Bible says, seven of us consider, Paul was saying, what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That's not of natural understanding. It's a spiritual understanding. God would open up your spiritual man to understand what he's saying and how even what he just got through saying about, you know, about the husband, that labor must be a partaker of the fruit. Okay, because you got a lot of people. I know a lot of people. They preach and teach that where they prophesy. But catch them outside of an audience and catch them wrong, and then you'll see what come out. They're not a partaker, but they can tell you how to live. They can tell you how you are. They can tell you what God expects. And really, they're being phony. They're being a hypocrite. They're not really being real. And they cause people to fall because people do watch your life. They watch what you say. They may not say nothing, but then later on, they come back the saying will come out. And they say, well, I thought you said such and such a thing. See, so he said, he was telling them, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Because the Holy Ghost said to bring back all things to your remembrance, what he has taught you. And the Holy Ghost is a teacher. I've had people that time in my walk with the Lord, because I stick with the word. When I'm talking, I'm talking about the scripture, what I done read or whatever. And the enemy will come try to, for they done messed it up and try to get you to think that you said something else. And so I said, well, if I said it, the Holy Ghost will bring back to my remembrance. If I said it, I said, but if you don't bring back to my remembrance, didn't say it that way. That's the way you understood it. So you have to be consistent and fight for your spiritual life. That's why the Bible says protect your heart. And it's not talking about your fleshly heart. Your spirit man. You have to protect it. You're not being mean. You're not being ugly. You're not being trying to make like you know this and know that. That's not a common amount of Christians will say that. But you're trying to protect the spirit of God in you. He gives it to you to guard your heart. He's not going to guard it for you. And you got to know the difference when the enemy is using somebody else to steal your peace, to steal your blessing, to steal whatever, especially when God done told you. He done sent you the word. He done gave you scripture. He done gave you all this for you. And here's somebody else coming up. But, you know, sometime this and sometime that. And I will tell the people, ain't no sometime the Bible say this. And he done sent me this, that, and the other, and the other. I'm going to believe what the word say. Well, I know what I'm this. I can't help nothing about that. That is not what he told me. That it's not with all the confirmation he gave me. I'm not being arrogant, but I'm fighting to keep my mind and what's going on for the promise that he done gave me. Because the enemy, I'm being real, the enemy was stealing because I, you know, had the situation I'm going through with the house. I had somebody, they meant well, but they ain't walking in the walk what they talk. Because they were trying to tell me all these places, and they got on the computer themselves and went to what's called. And then telling me, you know, you need to call these places and you need to go ahead on the what's called. I said, that's not what God told me. And I have no peace in what you're saying. I said, if I'm going to accept less than what God told me, and if God's going to give me peace in waiting, and this is the thing that disturbed my fear, I know it didn't come from God. They meant well. But everybody that talk faith, well, it's not God. And they're not discerning where your faith level is. So, see, I had to guard my spirit, my heart, and not to give up on what God told me. Because even God would honor me just for you know, standing in faith and believing him. Because I put his name out there. I always tell people, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. I never tell them I'm going to do it. I never tell them, you know, somebody else going to do it. I said, God said, this is what his word say. That's what you got to get in for. You got to fight for the promise of your life, your destiny. And whomever else you're praying for, you have to fight for that. Because the devil will steal it. But it don't look like they would have got. It don't make no difference. God gave me a promise. I'm standing on God's promise. He can turn it around. He's going to turn around. But the eighth verse said, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, Paul was saying. Wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer. You know, when he was out there killing people. Even unto bond, but the word of God is not bound. Although you're going through hell and high water, the word of God in you is not bound. So nothing can keep that word from coming out. Although you're going through. But most Christians, they don't want to go through nothing. But they want to flap that word out. But to show the real true soldier, when you're going through hell and high water, and you're still preaching the gospel, you're still going out there telling people, even though people are spitting on you, lying on you, rejecting whatever they are. Because he was saying, I was called, based on what he was saying, I was called to suffer. God said, I'm going to suffer many things for him. I'm going to suffer many things for him. I mean, we know the life of Paul, what he did. So he was saying, but while I'm still going through, and they're running me from place to place, and they, you know, they're putting me in prison, and they're doing all of this, I was told that this is going to happen. But the word of God is still not bad. I'm going to still preach and teach the word. I'm going to still tell people about Jesus. I'm going to still do what I'm called to do. Most people nowadays, when that starts to happen, they want to go sit in and don't even want to go out until they think when they go that everybody's going to accept them. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But he said, in the quote, he said, therefore I endure all things, not something now, all things for the elect's sake. He's talking about the persecution, the hardship, all these things he went through. He endured them. He went through them. For the elect's sake, the chosen one's sake. He did it as an example. When you go through and I go through all this hardship, we're going through for somebody else, the one that's chosen for the kingdom of God, to let them know. You know, when you are chosen, picked out by God, this is the road that you would be traveling. So if what I did and what I died on the cross for is for you. It's for you. Not just for the family, for you to go through, to pave the way for you. I was telling somebody that today. I said, what you don't want to understand with a lot of us, with your family and whatever, the things that God take you through, you are the Joseph of the family, like it was Joseph in the Old Testament. You try to reach them now. You can't reach them until you go through. And then at the end, God's going to have them. You're going to have the word. You're going to have the prayer. You're going to have whatever it is to draw them in like it was Joseph. Because, see, Joseph told them about the dream that they're going to bow before him. Then all hell broke loose. They come against it. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Understanding that everything that happened in the Bible is an example to teach us how of what's going to happen. And some of us, not only for your family, you are a Joseph for other people. So sometimes we try to reach them for the time, and we can't. And sometimes they'll hate you, and not knowing why. But the enemy know that you're going to be the one that God's going to use to draw them to the kingdom. So what does he do? He tries to stop it before then, turn them against you, make them not want to understand you, whatever it is. But they don't discern what the enemy is doing. The devil just had them looking at the person. But they are your lifeline. They are the one that can take you to your next destiny, whatever they are. But I'm going to read that again. He says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also attain the salvation. Salvation and deliverance. Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So when you're going through, I'm going through, and we go through and we make it, it's for others so they can attain either one, the salvation of the deliverance, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If you don't go through and you don't pass the test and you don't watch God, there are many people that are going to be lost because of you or because of me. Because God has already assigned them to you. He has already assigned them. So each person, I keep trying to tell people, the people I got to reach is not the people you got to reach. I can't reach the people you got to reach. Now, God will not let them go without being reached. If I choose not to obey God, but I'm intending to obey God, he will still has already raised up another person that will go and give them what he put in them for the people. But every one of us got a people, a calling. Everyone's got a ministry, many serve. Whenever people come out preaching, they say, I'm not preaching. It's sharing the good news. What has he delivered you from? What have he brought you through and brought you out? They're sharing the good news. When you go to them to bring deliverance in their life, because you carry the kingdom in you, you bring them good news because you're going to set them free. not ask them if they want to get set free. No, I'm coming and tell that devil came in you, he's got to let you go. I'm bringing you the kingdom of God, not words, but the kingdom of God within me. Deliverance, healing, casting out demons, blinding the eyes, raising the dead. That's the kingdom of God is within us, the Holy Spirit, to set them free. But it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we should also live with him. And baby, dead to the old way, dead to sin, dead to our thoughts, dead for all that, we be dead to all that past. Then we'll live with him. But if I got the old way of thinking, the old way of doing, I got the religious this and all this stuff, I can't live with him. Because you can't take the old things into the kingdom of God. You can't do it. He said, this is what he said too. If we suffer, we should also reign with him. We're going to rule. We go through, if we persevere, we go through the persecution, the hardships, the adversity, whatever terminology you want to use. Okay, that's why I tell people, look up the word. Look up what it says. If we go through these things, we're going to also reign with him. If you don't go through these things, you can't be ruling no devil and telling him what to do. You can't reign with Christ because the devil ain't going to pay you attention. Why? You don't interact with him. You don't went along with him. But if you fight against him, he'll realize that you got the power, that he can't rule over you no more. You suffered like Jesus did. You went on your figuratively cross. When Jesus went on his literal cross, when he got you in a place that you can't do nothing but wait and trust in him and what you got in him, you are on a cross dying to your flesh. And the Bible says, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die. This is St. John, I think it's 12, I believe 12 chapter, I believe it is. But anyway, it says, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it'll battle alone. But if it dies, it bear more fruit. You cannot bring forth spiritual fruit in your flesh. You have to go on your figuratively cross and die to your ways. And then you're able to produce other spiritual people. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. A fleshy Christian or a religious Christian or an entertaining Christian or pastor or whatever it is, them the kind of people you're going to have. That's why I was telling somebody the other day, I was talking to him and they were talking about something. I told him, I said, it ain't going to be no Johnny Carson, but I used him because he did. It ain't going to be no Johnny Carson show on the show that God gave me. It ain't going to be that. It's going to be a Jesus Christ. And I was doing this, like I said, when I was pastoring people, a lot of times they wanted to do all this other stuff and they wanted to have little children come in there. And ain't it cute? I said, no, Jesus Christ is the center of attention in here. He's going to be the top. Of course, some of them didn't like it. So, no, I need him. I don't know who y'all need. See, you can't let the devil be taken over. But you got to hold out. You got to persevere through whatever it is. And when you're going through them hills and hot water and them things, he said you're going to reign with him. You're going to rule. You're going to rule with him. Then you're able to tell the devil, you know, you got to turn loose. You can't, you know, you can't hold down nothing here. You can't have nothing here. But if I'm interacting with the devil, he ain't going to listen to me. You wonder why a lot of Christians right now try to talk to the devil and basically they can't tell the devil nothing or do nothing. Because they're interacting with the devil. That's why he don't pay them no attention. But if that person walking with Christ and they obeying and paying attention, he's going to have to get up and get out. But you can have no part of him in you, willfully, intentionally, and think you'll be able to boss him and tell him what to do because he's not listening. He's not listening. The Bible says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And this is why I tell people, if Christ is in you, I'm talking about the real Christ, the real Holy Spirit, it's no way that you can know another person that got Christ and don't recognize him through by the Spirit. If a person do that, they say they got Christ, and they don't recognize the Spirit of God in another person, the real Christ in them, they don't have the Spirit. He will not deny himself. He will not. I don't care how different that person is or how he used them or whatever it is, you know one another by the Spirit of God. That's what you know. You know about the Spirit. You don't know about the mind. You don't know about, you know, what they say, what they preach, and what they teach and all that. But you know them by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is in them. And that's why I've told people, a lot of times, if you were really in that word and you knew Christ, you know me by the Spirit. I don't care how different I am. And that's what it is with anyone. I don't know people by their gifts, and all. I don't go by all of that stuff, or how well they preach, teach, or sing, prophesy, whatever it is, or how accurate it is. I go by the fruits. And my spirit will bear witness and let me know if they got the Spirit of God in them. I don't come against them on anything like that. I'm not saying that. But I don't really accept it and say it, you know, what's coming, but I know they're of God. Not saying they don't necessarily belong to God, but they may have not grown or allowed the Spirit of God to come in them. But we got to know, and I'm going to say this before I get ready to hang up. We're going to go through Christian warfare. So you prepare yourself with the Word of God. You prepare yourself even in Ephesians and other scripture. You get ready for when you come in, the enemy coming, and the Lord allows the enemy to come. Because he used the enemy to perfect you, to mature you, for you to know the enemy, the difference from an enemy in Christ. So you come in as a soldier. You in the world, but you're not out of the world. That is the way it is. It has nothing to do with all you said, but it has something to do with your relationship with Christ and not this church stuff and all that stuff. I'm not saying he won't allow us to, what's called that, interact and go in there, but to learn and to grow for work in the ministry, like Ephesians 4, chapter 11, 12, verse 6, for work in the ministry. Everybody in there got a ministry of some kind. Ministry means to serve. Serve in the kingdom of God. That's what it means. Everybody don't have the same office, the same question, but everybody got a minister to serve. I don't care who they is, when they come in, whatever they are, to serve. And people out there waiting on us in some kind of capacity to serve. They're waiting on us to do that. Some people doing without, going without, hungry, whatever they are, sick, and don't have laborers that can come and pray and get a prayer through. Because why? That person that God may want to use never did allow the Holy Spirit to perfect them so he can put his power in. He will not put new wine in the old wineskin. This is why he want to take us through to get all that mess out, all that thinking out, all this out. I move and I get ready. I don't feel like moving today. I want to stay home and do this or pray or whatever it is. And God said, no, I want you to go out there. And my daughter need a word. My daughter need a blessing. My daughter needs this, and I want to use you to do it. I want you to go. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there, and I want you, you to get that need today, not somebody else. I just want you to go. But we thank and praise God for the word. But I pray out of what the Lord has brought tonight and give us some insight on what we are really called and who we really are in Christ. And the assignment that he give us when you come in, and like I said, Paul was telling Timothy, because God had anointed him and called him, but he also was telling that the part I was talking about, reproving, rebuking, all this stuff. See, what people don't understand, too, that a lot of times, they don't want to be rebuked and reproved and corrected. But all that are part of the calling. All that are part of the calling. We have to realize, you know, have to realize that, in that. So just be encouraged, you know, and then, like I say, continue to go over the word, you know, and let God maybe give you some more insights on what he would have you to do and help you to understand when people come against you or people this, that, and the other. It's not, they think it's going to, you know, be against you, but God's saying he's going to work to your good. All things, not something. All things. And get your eyes away from. But the people, they don't like me in the person. He said, you're not dealing with flesh and blood. That spirit behind it. So you come against that spirit and in the spirit in prayer or whatever it is. Take authority over it. Not try to get in the person's face. Let me tell them off. Let me da-da-da-da, you know, that stuff. No, because you're going to cause more trouble. But be encouraged. Love y'all. Thank you for being on, you know, and coming on. You know, praise God for you. I pray the blessing of God upon you. I pray a deeper hunger for the things of God. I pray the grace of God is already in you to go through whatever God has assigned for you to go through. But I pray that you stand tall, and I pray that you trust God. I pray that you just continue to allow the Lord to take you through and go, like I said earlier when I was talking, how a lot of things I'm beginning now to see the Lord manifest some things that he had told me. I'm beginning to see the Lord have it so that people that was enemies and coming against me, God got them blessing me now, you know, and all that where they wouldn't before, you know. And I'm just seeing the ministry, how he's beginning to, he is beginning to send it forth and, you know, bring people in my life, you know, what's called, and having them doing things and what's called things the way I wanted when it done, you know, where he done told me to do it. You know, yes, I went through it, like, but nobody going to come up to the plate and help, you know, or do anything. But you be faithful. Be faithful. And like I tell people, yes, I have went through where I have preach and teach, not just on, since I've been on this blog talk and other things, even when I was a pastor. I've been through where one or two people in the meeting, and I still preach. I have been with a transformer box when I know all the lights was off, and I use a candle. I have showed God my faithfulness. So when I do this now, I know I'm doing it to his honor. So guess what? He has to reward me. And it doesn't bother me. I know what people should do, but I also know the time. God got his timing. But I want to encourage you, keep your hands stuck to the plow. Because the Bible says if you take your hands up, you're not fitting for the kingdom of God. That's scripture. So love y'all and bless y'all, and I pray the blessing of God be upon y'all, and just continue to have a blessed night in Jesus' name. All right, we're going to say good night to you.